lot going on, isn't there? Politics, church, coronavirus. And we're all trying to figure out what to do in the midst of all of it. So we cry out to Jesus Christ in our prayers. Probably praying more in depth than we have been. More sincere. More honest. Lord, I know you hear. And you know this world's in a mess. So what are you going to do with it? How do you want me to respond? Do I just stand and take it? Or do I stand my ground? Do I give in to the government? Do I fight the government? Do we say this is the house of the living God? And you'll not take it. Is it gut check time, Father? To check how spiritually strong we are at the moment? Will we stand the ground? Will we say, like the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, regardless of the consequences? Is it time in America to actually wake up and rise up and stop taking things for granted? Is it time to be what God has called us to be, soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Taking that cross and picking it up and carrying it, witnessing it, speaking about it, realizing there is nothing that can stop the penetration of the Word of the living God? Are we at the place that we are ready to do what God asks us to do and be what He asks us to be? I pray that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. We're back in that book of Revelation. You'll notice the title, The Church in Pergamos. Pergamos means objectionable marriage. What is an objectionable marriage? It is a marriage of compromise. It is a marriage of worldly alliance. It is a marriage of church and also state. Watching the election play out, I heard some very piercing, hard, scary words said. Is the coronavirus conditioning the way we're going to worship? Are we going to allow government officials to say, we're shutting down the church? We're in control. Then there was that lady, mayor or governor, Chicago, I can't remember exactly, said, we need to shut down Thanksgiving. I ain't shutting down Thanksgiving. And I ain't shutting down Christmas. And I'm not handing over my guns. And I'm keeping my hands on my Bible. And I will witness what is in the Bible because that's what we are told to do. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will continue to teach it and preach it and be a witness to it no matter what the consequences. Pergamos, an objectionable marriage. I can nearly see a marriage of compromise already, can't you? I can really begin to see a marriage of worldly alliance, saying that church and state must come together if you're going to have church at all. I don't think so. The government doesn't run the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He died on the cross. He paid your sin debt in full. He was raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. And He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And He is coming back when God says to the Son, "Go get my children." That is the rapture of the church of the living God. He says in verse 12, "And to the angel," notice parentheses, "divine messenger," I want you to write pastor. We're not talking about an angel. We're talking about a human pastor of the church. "And to the human pastor," and I am not divine, "of the church in Pergamum write." These are the words of Him. Who's Him? The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of Him who has and wields the sharp two-edged sword in judgment. Underline that word, judgment. This refers to the penetrating power of the Word of the living God. Then there's verse 12 in a little different translation. "I am the one who ultimately holds the sharp sword with two edges," that is Jesus Christ. "Regardless of the power any human leader may temporarily try to exert over your lives, I am the one who has the final say in matters of life and death." Then there's John 1:5. "And the light," underline the word light, "and the word light, and biblical truth, and holiness, and purity, and Jesus Christ, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 1:5 again. Darkness does not have the ability to suppress or to hold the light under its domain. And that is worth a big amen. This verse triumphantly declares that darkness is ultimately incapable of suppressing the light or holding it under its domain. Darkness always surrenders as light breaks through with all its glorious brilliance. I have something in my notebook you don't have. It's no surprise to you, so let's get to it. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 5. Let's begin with the word light. The word light, L-I-G-H-T, in the Greek language is the word phos, P-H-O-S. And it may surprise you, actually, what this word means in the Greek language. The word light here refers to what it manifests or what it makes known. We cannot see things as they really are unless God gives us light. So light is a grace gift that comes from the gracious Almighty God that enables us to see what we could not see without His light. There's something else. Light reveals true reality. Light reveals absolute truth and absolute reality of Jesus Christ. And light makes what is eternal become intelligible. I'll repeat that one. Light makes what is eternal become intelligible. Light travels 186,000 miles per second, 7 times around the globe in 1 second. The light of faith, and what is faith? Faith is divine persuasion. It is the persuasion of God working on the inside of you so His work can be done on the outside of you. So light travels 186,000 miles per second, seven times around the globe in 1 second. The light of faith, divine persuasion, occurs instantly, fast enough to guide us in every scene of life. And then that word, darkness. Light shines in the darkness. The word darkness. This word darkness conveys the warped, twisted sense of light people live by when they reject God's voice, and that is rejecting the word of the living God. Darkness is self-willed choice, what carnal people prefer. This self-blinding darkness suggests deliberate preference to live outside of God's in-worked persuasion. In other words, I'm going to take God's in-worked persuasion and I'm going to trade it in on human persuasion. Remember, human persuasion is limited in all it thinks and all that it does. Then look at that word, comprehend. The word comprehend in the Greek language means would not admit to it or receive it. Did not appreciate the value of God's instructions, divine illumination, and salvation. Now let's go back to page one. You'll notice the city of Pergamum. Number one, this city was filled with temples where sacrifices were being offered to pagan gods. Underline, if you will, pagan gods and write this down. Number one, pagan gods have their own demons. Pagan gods have their own demonic influence. Number two, spiritually, it was very dark in reference to the city of Pergamum, literally teeming with demon spirits and abounding in mysterious and evil religions. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you'll do well to understand and learn this verse. Let's begin. For our, underline the word our. Our refers to you if you are a child of the living God. And if you are a child of the living God, I want you to listen what Scripture says. You might as well get ready for and confront it. For our, Terry Davis, a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, having the Holy Spirit within him. For our struggle, underline the word struggle, three things here. Number one, connected to the word struggle. Struggle, spiritual combat of Christians. Spiritual combat of Christians. Am I going to be confronted with the demonic? The answer is yes. How am I going to battle the demonic? With the word of the living God. When you speak the word of the living God, when you read the word of the living God, and the demons are confronted by it, they're going to have to give way to it. And I want you to understand, as a child of the living God, you have the power of God. You have the power of His word right there at your fingertips. Take it when things seem dark, when there is adversity, when there are trials, when there are hardships. Open the Word of God and address the adversity, address the trial, address the hardships with the Word of the living God. We call it Holy Scripture. When you do that, believing in faith by divine persuasion, then again, darkness is going to have to part. Darkness is going to have to give way to the power that is penetrating, that comes from the Word of the living God. Hang on with my voice. Number one, struggle is spiritual combat of Christians. Secondly, struggle is one-to-one struggle that is up close and personal, that is in your face warfare. How close will I get to demons face to face? Are we going to wrestle just like two wrestlers wrestle when they're in an arena. You're going to be that close. You're going to feel the breath even of demons. And I know some of you have talked about that, Terry. I felt like this demon had his arm around my shoulders. I felt like the demon's lips were right against my ear. I'm telling you, when you look up this word struggle, we are going to have spiritual combat. Get ready for it. Number two, there will be a one-to-one struggle that is up close and personal in your face. Number three is in the present tense, which means it is never, ever going to stop. You and I will struggle with the demonic. We will struggle with spiritual warfare all our lives until death comes and takes us into the very presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run from them. Stand nose to nose to them. Know the Word of God enough that you can even quote it when necessary. And when you do, they must back down and they must back away. And you are going to get the victory that Jesus Christ has already died for on the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Satan is already defeated. The demonic army is already defeated. I am fighting from victory, not for victory. And you've got to understand that, because what you're seeing on TV, what you are seeing in the government, and the government is laying it out there right in front of your face, right on the table, telling you what it's going to do if you don't stop it. In other words, if the people of God are not willing to rise up in the power of Almighty God and start living by the Word of God and speaking the Word of God to the issues that are taking place, then what will happen? Then the government will come in and say, you know what? We seem to be more powerful than you. May that never be said, and may it never happen. The government should look at the church and say, we will not dare interfere with what is taking place by Almighty God at the church at Hainesville Baptist Church. The power of God prevails. Make it known so in the lives that you live. Back to the printout. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Chucky Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, I don't need them. I don't need a party that is anti-God, promotes gay marriage, abortion. Let me tell you something. Without God, you're damned. You're headed to a living hell. It's all about Jesus Christ. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. We need not fear. We need not back up from anybody or anything. Comprehende? Good. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers. Underline the word rulers. Rulers in the Greek language means cosmic powers. They are real. They exist, and they will get in your business in a hurry. They are deceptive, and they have a supernatural power that I don't have. Now listen to what I said. Terry Davis in the flesh as a Christian doesn't have the power. The power is living on the inside of me. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of Jesus. It is the power of Almighty God. There is a power that is out there, folks. Put your hands on it, grasp it, and get in the Word of God and claim it and start saying we will live by this power that is of God. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers. Rulers, cosmic powers, exercising ruling power in the godless system. If you don't let Jesus rule you, guess what? You don't rule yourself. Satan will step in, the demons will step in and begin to rule your whole life. It will be a life of destruction. It will be a life of delusion. It will be a life that you cannot stand to live, and a life that will send you to a living hell in due time. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces. Underline world forces. World forces. This refers to Satan and his demons influencing the lives of worldly people. You're either going to have the influence of God or you're going to have the influence of Satan. And you make the choice. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled, be motivated, be moved, be influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. Either God is influencing you, either God is persuading you, or Satan is persuading you. It is your choice to make. It is your call to make. But against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness. Underline the word darkness. The word darkness means people who prefer sin, and this sin brings with it its certain results. Against the spiritual forces. Underline the word spiritual and forces. This is relating to the invisible sphere that we cannot see. And notice of wickedness. Underline the word wickedness, and it is wicked. The word wickedness, it means contagious pain. Just listen to it. I'll go back. You can write it down. Contagious pain-ridden evil that is not content to stay in its own backyard. This is also the active exercise of a vicious disposition, rotten through and through. This wickedness says, I'm coming after you. I'm not staying penned up. I'm not going to stay in a box. I'm not going to stay in my backyard. I am contagious and I'm climbing the fence. And brother, I'm coming after all I can come after to destroy their human and spiritual lives. Of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Look at number 3. Christians were being persecuted. Stop there. This is where you need to leave Joel Osteen alone. I'll tell you why. Christians were being persecuted. No feel-good messages, right? What was the feel-good message here? You are a Christian. And if God allows somebody to take your life, then immediately you are taken into the very presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. They can't kill you. You can't kill a soul and a spirit. Especially when it belongs to Jesus Christ, because it's spiritual. You may take my flesh, but my soul and spirit have Almighty God saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ stamped on it. And brother, it belongs to Him, and that is non-negotiable. Amen? Thank you. Christians were being persecuted. God allowed that. Get used to it. And great pressure. Does God allow you to go through great pressure? Did Jesus Himself go through great pressure? Did He get on His knees in the garden and say, Lord, if you let this cup pass, then take it all. Take it away. And what did Jesus say? Let me have it. Let me have it. For I'll pay for everybody's sin debt in full. Christians were being persecuted in great pressure. Was upon them to compromise their faith in order to live peaceably with their pagan neighbors. It made me sick to see people bow their knee to Black Lives Matter. And if you know the agenda of Black Lives Matter, you will not bow your knee to them. There's only one you will bow your knee to, and that is God the Father and God the Son, period. Christians were being persecuted and great pressure was upon them to compromise their faith. How can you compromise eternity with Jesus? Tell me, I'm all ears. What's worth it? Anybody got anything? Faith, to compromise their faith in order, get this, to live peaceable with their pagan neighbors. Oh, let me just lick your boots, BLM, so you won't destroy my property. If you'll stand out there with an AR and a gun and what you need, they won't destroy your property. I'm trying to tell you, pretty soon you're going to be your own police. And you want to defund the police, they want to defund the police, do away with law and order, be damned with that. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ, read it in Romans, has established the institution of government and law. And therefore, to say you want to do away with it is to go against Almighty God that says no.
Amen.
Page 2. Point 1. Number 1. Pergamum is a perfect example of the power and ability of the gospel, that's the word of God, to penetrate any environment. Do you know what God did? And you'd say to God, have you lost your ever-loving mind? He took the church at Pergamum and set it right in the middle of hell. Read about the city. I gave you a little dose of it. It was like living in hell, ungodly, anti-God, full of demon influence and satanic activity. That's where Satan's throne was, if you read. And what did God do? He said, I'm planting my church right in the middle of hell. Now go out and get them. Isn't that what he said? Where Satan's throne is. Number 2. In the midst of a greatly oppressive atmosphere, this church not only survived, it thrived. Sometimes we just got to have a kick in the butt to get going, don't we? Well, brother, you're getting it. You're getting it with the government. You're getting it with the coronavirus. And I got news for you. Read Matthew chapter 24 when you get home and have time. There's more coming. During this time, there was a teaching called the Doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That wasn't Nicholas, Santa Claus, either. Which reasoned, you think this is divine reasoning or human reasoning? So during this time, there was a teaching called the Doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which by human reasoning said, what harm is there in making a few compromises to be more like our pagan neighbors? God, if you can't beat them, join them, right? That's ungodly, isn't it? Not even scriptural. What harm is there in making a few compromises to be more like our pagan neighbors? It's okay to burn a little incense to their gods. It's okay to burn stores, and it's okay to loot, and it's okay to steal, and say, oh, they'll cool down after a while. Anybody got an 18-wheeler? There's a whole lot of wild hogs here in Hanville. I'd love to load that 18-wheeler up and back it up and say, and open my doors and say, hogs, go get them. That'd clear the streets, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's okay to burn a little incense to their gods if it will provide us with peace with them. Perhaps accommodating the people around us would be beneficial. The government would love for you to do this. Question. What is Jesus' response to this? A. He, Jesus Christ, commanded them to change, to stop making room for compromise and to do the right thing in the presence of God, regardless of the consequences. What is the right thing? It's found in the Word of God. Point two, number two, in the midst of the intense oppression in the city of Pergamum, people began to be what? Is this a little opposite to our thinking today? God put me somewhere where it's all rosy. And I'll go out and I'll do a great job out there. He says, I'm going to put you where you have to be real salt and real light. Where you yourself are going to find out what you are made of. To stop making room for compromise and to do the right thing in the presence of God regardless of the consequences. Point two. So in the midst of the intense oppression in the city of Pergamum, people began to be evangelized. Question one. What happens when the people of God begin to grow spiritually? The gospel begins to what? Blaze. Number two. Will there be opposition from the devil? Yes. Get ready for it. If it's too much for you, get with a strong Christian and say, can we start praying together? I need some of what you've got. Inhumane persecution came to the church and God allowed that, didn't He? Believers contended with bullying. We're getting a lot of that on the street today. Persecution, prejudice, and imprisonment. Many were martyred for their faith. God, are you going to allow me to die if necessary for the faith? Yeah. Talk to Antipas, my faithful witness. Talk to a lot of them in the Bible. Heroes of the faith, men and women. You going to allow us to go through some hard times? He said, yeah, and you know why? Because it's during those hard times you find out what you got and what you ain't got. And you may find out you're not saved because you're going to go right out that door and say, you know what, Terry, this isn't for me. No, it is for you. You just got scared and chicken. And now, are you really saved? You going to run every time something comes up? Then fix it. You got a government that's forming. That you better get ready to do some fixing. And when the government says you ain't going to do this, you know what gets me? They can't even run their own lives. Right. Or they'll tell you to what? You can't have Thanksgiving, but come to find out, on fake news and others. Well, the governor had 30 people at his house, but you can't have but you and your wife. And you think I'm going to obey that? I'll be nice. My wife's here. Point three. If you will embrace, would you underline that word if? It's either first class or third class condition. You know what a third class condition is? The word if? It means maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's your call. Jesus doesn't make you do anything. If you're really His, when He turns to walk, you will follow. For a disciple is a learner and a doer and a follower of Jesus Christ. If you will embrace, if you choose, and the Holy Spirit will convict you to do so. If you will embrace and believe the gospel, the Word of God can prevail over any dark situation you may be facing right now. I got the light and not a thing can put it out. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You have given us. We thank You for the courage, the boldness, the perseverance, the endurance that we find in the Word of God. Now, we ask the question, how salt? Salt. How salty am I? How much light is going forth from me, making known the holiness and the purity and the salvation? And Jesus Christ, how much light is manifesting from me? There is no limit. Shine all you can. And don't let anything or anybody shut you down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.